being here today and letting me speak to you. Disclaimer about that, this sermon's going to be pretty heavy as far as me, but also Paul, he used exercises for us. There is a prayer. I like to get exercise. It makes me feel good, it makes me feel strong. And even though I get dirty and sweaty, I feel clean on the inside. And I think as long as you're able, you should exercise. And for the last couple of years, I've been trying to find a way I could exercise without thinking about exercising. You know, if I get on the treadmill or an elliptical machine or something, after about 5 minutes, I'm bored. Tired or really slow. But if I get on a hiking trail, I lose track of time. I gotta see what's around the next bend, or I gotta find where that water's coming from, the sound of the water's coming from. I'm a little dumb. I see that big rock and I want to climb on top of it. But even better for me is if you can make exercise like a game or a sport where there's an objective. You don't really think about that you're tiring yourself out. So, at the last year or so, I've been playing tennis. And it all started, I saw an advertisement for a free clinic over in Decatur, Point Mallard. And 6 free classes, no strings attached, just totally free. And I thought, hey, I like tennis, I'm not good at it. I've always enjoyed playing it with my friends, and let's give it a shot. So I took my little $20 Walmart racket over there, and that I had just sitting in my room collecting dice. And after the first class, I was hooked. It was great. It was a blast. There was about 15 of us in the class, and they just showed us some drills and taught us, some game situations. And the third class, the director came around and he said, we talked to you guys. This is free, but what we're trying to do is get people to sign up to play in our leagues. And I told him, I said, hey, I want more information. I want to do that. And he said, you're a beginner, so you can play doubles starting off. And, you have somebody else in the court with you. You don't have to cover everything yourself. And I said, can I play singles? He said, you can sign up for singles. We'll try to match you up with somebody your skill level. So sign me up. So the first match I played was a doubles match, and it was really fun. We won. It was a close match, but I was feeling great about it. And a few days later, I went back and I had my first singles match, and I didn't know who I was going to play. I just knew I had to show up at a certain time and be ready to play. So I show up and I go to my team captain and I said, I'm ready to hear who I'm playing. He said, you're going to be playing Micah, the team captain for the other team. And it's not really a fair matchup. I'd seen Micah play the week before, and he had obviously been playing a few years. So, all right, let's do this. I'm trained and ready, let's do it. So, go out there and we hit the ball around a little bit. And, we did the little, it's not really a coin toss, but we flipped your racket and whatever's on the bottom is up or down. You call it. No. Michael won the toss, so he said he would serve. So I get down and I'm in my stance down here. I got both hands on the racket. I'm ready for the forehand or the backhand, like I've been taught in my 6 classes. And Micah throws the ball up and serves it, right? And have you ever had something happen so fast that you really didn't have time to react to it? I mean, I got my racket on the ball, but I certainly didn't hit it back over the net. You could hear the ball coming through the air. It was like whistling. It was like it was in slow motion when I thought about it afterwards. So maybe I thought, no, this is bad. This is an impossible situation. Unless he breaks his ankle and forfeits, I'm going to lose. So I want to share some lessons I learned in my first season of tennis. I got a couple stories, and that was the first one. But some lessons I learned that who can fight our lives. So, sometimes in life we're faced with difficult or seemingly impossible situations, and we just got to deal with them. What can we do when these situations overwhelm us and threaten to overwhelm us? Well, the first thing we need to do when we're faced with impossible is just count your blessings. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then in Romans 5, 6 through 9, when we are still without strength, the new time that Christ died for the ungodly, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. And God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath. So, we're faced with adversity. We need to remember how blessed we are. We live in a free country. We pursue the kind of life we want to live. We can worship freely without being persecuted. And we may not all have a lot of money here, but when no one here today is poor compared to a lot of people. And as Christians, we also have special blessings that come in this life and in the next. We're blessed with our earthly families that we're born into. And we also have a much larger spiritual family of Christians that we're members of. We have that extra family we can call on for support and help when we need it, time of need. And most of all, we have the blessings of Christ who died for us and to this day intercedes for us with the Father. Second thing we can do is to focus on what we can control, not what we can't. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, except what is coming from behind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So we can't always control what happens to us. It'd be nice if we could. Often there are circumstances beyond our control. We just have to learn to live with it. We can, however, control our faults and our actions. We can set our mind on things above. We can control our reactions to things that happen to us. This has been a hard lesson for me to learn. Something I'm still working on, controlling our reactions to things. Your mindset and how you react to certain situations, it really builds your reputation and affects how other people view you. And we are called to be different from the world. And we need to keep our focus on the next life and keep this as the focus of our thoughts and actions and our reactions and things that we face in our daily lives. Another thing we can do in the face of impossible situations, difficult situations, is we can look for areas to learn and to improve ourselves. Romans 5, verses 3 through 4 says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I firmly believe that in any situation, there's opportunities to learn, to grow, improve ourselves. Going back to my tennis match against a much more experienced opponent, there was no way I was going to win. After I got blitzed 6-0 in the first set, I was standing there and I was thinking, what am I doing? Can we just get this over with? I'm going to go eat now. And I then reminded myself, I had to stop and think, now, you said before you started, you're going to do singles or whatever you can play, just so you can become a better player, so you can learn. I knew it was going to be rough, but this was good. So I went into the next set as best 2 out of 3 sets. I went into the next set with the mindset of, I don't care what the score is. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to try to play my best and get better. So I started observing my opponent, and maybe I can learn something from him. You know, he's obviously been playing along with me, so maybe he knows some things I don't. I'm sure he does. And I noticed one thing he was doing was when he returned the ball, he was really eager to just storm the net, just come right up to the net. And so I started lobbing the ball. Over his head. And, you know, we were just, you know, bouncing to the back line, but he didn't have time to get back to return. He got a little mad when I started doing that. But I actually won a few games in that set. He still won 6-4, so it was still a blowout. But I didn't really feel that sense of defeat. I think that I would have felt if I had just dialed it in and just gave up. And, actually, we stayed after the match and we hit some balls, just me and him, and he showed me some pointers, gave me some ideas, and how to improve my game, so I appreciated that. You know, we're given impossible or difficult situations, we're also given an opportunity. As the verse above says, tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character. So if we don't try to learn from these situations and improve ourselves, when we're faced with difficulties, I think that we've wasted a valuable opportunity. Another thing we can do is pray. This is very important. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We should always pray. It comforts us, it strengthens us, it strengthens our faith, brings us closer to God. Brother Steve talked recently in the upstairs of our class about the different types of prayer. And there are different types, such as prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of intercession, where you pray on behalf of someone else, supplication, where you lift up your needs to God. What really piqued my interest was when we talked about just communicating with God. And I think this is called communion type of prayer. I'm not sure, I think that's right. But basically, just because you have a specific need or a topic that you have to pray about, you can still pray. And I was thinking about this, and you know, have you ever been troubled about something and you just confided in someone, just a friend maybe, so just talk to them, just told them what was going on. Usually you feel a little bit of that burden's been lifted after you talk to this person. Now the thing that's causing you trouble, it's still there. Nothing's changing that front. But just talking to someone about it, verbalizing it, often helps. I think there's actually a whole profession based on this. We make our concerns known to God, and we communicate with God. We aren't just talking to a friend. We're talking to the Almighty, the Creator, who has the power to change the situation we're in. We should continually pray. It's a very powerful prayer. Finally, you need to remember that this is temporary. When you're in a difficult situation, it's going to pass at some point. James 1:2-4, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. For let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We need to know that this is temporary and you're being perfected. I said earlier, if we give up in difficult situations, we've wasted an opportunity to grow, to get stronger and wiser in our faith. Now, I lost the match against Micah, I mentioned earlier, pretty bad. But some of the techniques I learned in that match helped me win later matches. God knows that we're going to face trials here on earth. And He allows us to face these trials, I think, because if we handle it in the way He wants us to and expects us to, then it increases our faith and it makes us stronger. So I got another story for you. Later in the season, after I received, had another doubles match. And this match was probably the most evenly matched match that I've been a part of. Me and my teammate, and these two other guys, and it was back and forth the whole game. It was every point I went to deuce, every game with a tiebreaker, it was just exhausting. It was hot that day, and we've been playing for well over an hour. We're still in the first set. And me and my teammate, we lost the first set fairly. And, we had a little break between the sets, between the first and second set. And I think if I hadn't had that ball of game ready, I don't know if I would have made it that day. But, I actually had to go and change shirts because my shirt was just, there was no part of it. But I talked to my teammate and I said, I know we lost this first set, but I think if we just keep playing, they're going to tire out. So I think we can all ask. So if no us, I think we got more juice than they do. So let's just keep it close and let's just play. So the second set went about like the first one. And same thing. Every point we produce, every game for tiebreaker. We actually won the second set in the close one. And then the third set is like a tiebreaker set. You just play the 10. I think we beat them 9-1 or 10-1 in the tiebreaker set. So we did. We tied them out. And that was a great feeling. And you got me thinking about this later, but sometimes serving God is just kind of a grind. And it's a lifetime practice. And it's easy sometimes to get tired and discouraged, constantly bombarded with these day-to-day things that just wear us down. And so what can we do when we feel this way, like it's just too much, it's just a continual grind? First thing we can do is take it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for do not know what a day may bring." Colossians 4:5-6, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So again, in tennis, as in any sport, you win by taking it one point, one play at a time. And if we're going to get to heaven, we're going to have to take it one day, 1 hour, 1 minute at a time. Especially if life is overwhelming, you see to focus on small things. Focus on things that you can control. Focus on serving God in whatever you can to do in your next hour. Take it one day at a time. Colossians 4:5 uses the term redeeming the time. Look into that. From what I can tell, it means we should just make the most use of our time, the best use of our time. Don't waste today by worrying about tomorrow or next week or next month. If you take care of what you need to today, worry about today, you will be more prepared and in a much better position to handle what tomorrow brings. Second thing, we need to remember whose team we're on and that we have teammates. John 16:33, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome it." Romans 8:37-39, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion." And in Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens counter to his friend." So we need to remember, if we're in the body of Christ, we're on the winning team. Christ has already prevailed. If we remain a part of his body until we die, then we're going to prevail as well. We need to remember that we're all in this together. When Christ instituted his church, he knew that we would need each other. So we can lift each other up, and on the flip side, hold each other accountable. So, you know, look around. This is your family. This is your family. We should lean on each other and help each other. We need to be involved in each other's lives outside of this building. And I know a lot of us are. In the end, we're all responsible for our own souls, but it really makes serving God easier if we're surrounded by people who have the same goal in mind. And the last point of this one is more effort equals more fulfillment. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, do it heartily. That's to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So when going back to that second match I just told you about, when we won that long drawn out doubles match, I was exhausted. Really was, but I was also ecstatic. It was a great feeling. I was driving home and I couldn't stop smiling. And why? What did that matter? I wasn't on the red clay of Roland Garros in Paris. I was on green concrete in Fort Mallory in the day. It was like maybe 2 feet was. But you know, to me it was a big deal. You know, I felt like I played the best I could. I gave all the effort I had, and we won. And I was just, I couldn't have been happy. I was thinking about this later, and it occurred to me that this could be applied to other things. Applied to anything, really. Work, relationships, school, projects, whatever you're doing. Especially worship and service to God. If we don't feel like we're getting much benefit or fulfillment or enjoyment out of what we're doing, maybe it's because we're not putting in as much effort as we should be. The more effort and time we put into something, I think naturally the more we're going to care about it. It's going to mean more to us. I know this has been a short lesson, but Cracker Barrel's been open since breakfast, so we should be okay. But I want to shift gears here a little bit and the invitation. A few weeks ago, the span of about 7 days, I had to bury 2 dogs. And one of the dogs was, he was about 6 months old. The other one, he was 14. And you know, when you're digging a grave for something, it kind of forces you to think about it. And I was thinking, you know, this dog, but you know, a lot of times your pets, they become part of your life, part of your family, and they mean a lot to you. You know, they're your friends. And you know, I love this dog. But I was thinking, you know, 14 years. I remember the day I went and picked him up. It was just like it was yesterday. His life is still gone, just like that. And you know, these people, places, and things that we get accustomed to, they're not always going to be there. It's not always going to be like this. So I just want to tell all of you today, you have an opportunity today to do what you need to do to make things right. Come forward and be baptized. You can come and confess your sins. You can come ask for prayers, ask for help. You know, there's no shame in coming forward. Really, the only shame would be if you wasted God. So, your son's invitation comes and stands.
All right.